due to the clash of their interests and differences of beliefs. According to the Quran, these conflicts will continue till the absolute victory of truth over falsehood. This battle of truth and falsehood has been affected by various powers in different eras. No doubt, power is originated in the leadership of every community. Victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979 totally changed the meaning of leadership and concept of power. This change was mainly in the form of a superior power shaped with the bond of leader and people. Basically, the top achievement of victory of Iran's Islamic Revolution was the establishment of the Islamic system of government on the basis of the theory of velayat-e-faqih. Velayat-e-faqih, or God-given authority of the supreme jurisprudent, was not only pivotal in the triumph of the Islamic Revolution, it has also played a unique role in going through innumerable crises and overcoming unprecedented conspiracies, each of which could annihilate any system and country. As per the Shia school of thought, in addition to the principles of monotheism, prophethood, and the hereafter, a believer should believe in two other principles of divine justice and imamat, or leadership of the infallible successors of the Prophet of Islam. However, during the era of occultation of Imam Mahdi, as the 12th and last infallible successor, the most qualified person to hold the hems of power among Muslims is the supreme jurisprudent who possesses special qualities. The eternity and comprehensiveness of the Islamic laws require the existence of government even during the era of occultation. That is, the age when the 12th Imam is not accessible to the public due to the divine will. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, describes ulema as his vicegerents and the heirs of all prophets, and Imam Ali, peace upon him, calls them as the rulers of people. He says in a hadith, according to the edict of God and Islam on Muslims, it is obligatory that they do not do anything unless they choose a pious and God-wary leader who is aware of judicial laws and the practice of God's messenger, so that he gathers public properties, causes people to maintain Hajj and Friday prayer, and collects alms. Therefore, choosing a qualified leader for the Islamic community has priority over every other affair. Imam Hussein, peace upon him, also stresses in a hadith, the sources and hems of affairs are in the hands of the divine scholars, the very people who are trustworthy on God's halal and haram. For your information, dear listeners, halal means whatever religion permits, and haram is whatever religion forbids. A third hadith from the Imam of Age, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, reads, as for the events, refer to the narrators of our words, because they are my vicegerents over you, and I am God's vicegerent. Here, Imam Mahdi clearly tells Muslims to follow those who have adequate knowledge of the Islamic teachings. Surely, the first group in this respect is the group of ulema. Imam Khomeini was the architect of the Islamic Revolution who, uncompromisingly, fought the oppressors and defended the oppressed without an iota of fear. The Islamic Revolution triumphed when the US was the leader of the Western Bloc and the Soviet Union was the leader of the Eastern Bloc of countries. At that time, any change was feasible just with the help of and dependence on one of these powers. Yet, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, following Imam Hussein, peace upon him, as his role model, awakened the Iranian nation and caused them to rise up against a despotic and mercenary regime. Leadership enjoys the key role and position in every great event in human communities, thus directing and guiding any popular uprising and revolution is among the most important functions of leaders in the world. Meanwhile, one of the most important factors which materialize ideals in society is to have a monolithic ruling system which guides the masses. According to the Islamic theory, the divine leadership is like the string of rosary which links all beads together. Reviewing the role of Imam Khomeini as the person who successfully put into effect the theory of velayat-e-faqih is very important. Imam Khomeini promoted the lofty Islamic and human ideals, which people made every effort to materialize. These ideals included freedom, independence, justice, struggle against oppression, equality, and so on. For sure, the concept of velayat-e-faqih existed for centuries among Muslims, but it was Imam Khomeini who took it out from the books and textbooks of seminaries and put it into practice in spite of all oppositions and enmities of the front of arrogance, symbolized by the US. Islam is the final religion that is based on a heavenly book, the Quran. To practice the Islamic laws, there should be a system of government and leadership to preserve the Islamic Ummah against enemies. This leadership should do its best to practice justice in society. Velayat-e-faqih is the fulcrum of the Islamic Republic system and the elements of its dynamism through decades. The role of this unique element has been evident, especially during innumerable plots that have been hatched by the sworn enemies of the Iranian nation. Ayatollah Khamenei says on the status of velayat-e-faqih, velayat-e-faqih is the position of engineering the system and preserving the line and direction of the system and preventing it from deviation, guarding and monitoring the general move of the system toward its ideal and lofty goals is the most important and fundamental role of velayat-e-faqih.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. With me, Mohammad Jad, hosting this program, and my two guest speakers, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Brother Yasser.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for having me again, brother.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Always a pleasure being here.
The pleasure is all ours. Actually, to have you both in the studio criticizing the movie Never Hurt, produced in 2018, directed by Josh Weber. As you all know, if you may follow these series of programs, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio, you would definitely know that we haven't come to the end of the critique of this movie, so we postponed it to this episode, hopefully. And before me asking my two brothers, actually, the guest speakers in the studio, the questions regarding this movie, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, Never Heard, and we'll be back. Stay with us.
Lyaran, you were raised in the church. You know what to do. You have to repent for the things you've done. And you've got to turn your life over to him.
I am sorry for all the things I put you through. I am.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. This is the movie critique program here. And we are trying to criticize the movie Never Heard. You just heard or listened to another part of the movie Never Heard. Let me direct this question to you, Sayyid Abdullah. You know, in the previous episode, I asked Brother Yasser about the concept of forgiveness. That was a part that came up in the previous episode. And I asked him what forgiveness is, and he gave us a very nice definition of what forgiveness is. And he compared it, actually, between the Islamic teachings and that of the Christian creed. But I'm going to ask you a question regarding repentance, because this is a part that that I chose. Aaron's mom, basically the person who's in prison, the prisoner, Jalen's father. But Aaron's mom, who is Jalen's grandmother, who's, you know, acting as a religious person in the movie, you know, advises her son, Aaron, actually, in the prison, to repent for the sins that he committed. Mm-hmm. All right? Although, of course, at the end of the movie, everybody knows that he's acquitted of his, you know, role in the murder. Crime. So he didn't actually commit the murder. So basically, he was cleared of this. But still, you know, his mom, Aaron's mom, advises his son to repent. What is repentance, and why does she insist on her son's repentance?
Repentance is just, in a basic term, is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for the sins that you've committed, and obviously with the condition that you don't do it again. That's what tawbah is, that you go back, because tawbah in Arabic means to go back to something that you have done.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you don't commit what you've done before. And with, like I said, with the condition that you don't do it again, and, you know, other conditions.
Yes.
And that you have to give the haq back and what have you. So this is what Toba is, asking God for forgiveness sincerely, pure-heartedly, and never to commit sins again. In the movie, when she asked her son to repent to God, which he did not swallow very well, he did not accept.
Yes.
Either because they did not make it very clear in the movie whether she herself believed her son was innocent. So she could have thought that he was guilty of the crime that he did. And coming from a Christian faith, no matter what you do, if you ask for forgiveness, you'll be forgiven, kind of. You know, they have this kind of mentality. So either she's asking him for that kind of sin to that he repent from, that he's still insisting on saying that I haven't done it, or not just general, because he himself, like, I think throughout the movie, he also, like, made a few remarks about himself. He says, I'm not the best. I've done a lot of bad things in my life, right? So from that, maybe she was asking him to repent as well. So the concept of repentance is an Islamic concept, is a Christian concept. I think it's most religions have that concept of repentance, of asking God to forgive your sins and clear you of your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said he's a tawwab, right? Yeah. It's one of his names, that he's, you know, he repents, he accepts the repentance of people. So this is the case here, that she wants him to repent.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'd like to actually also put my finger on the difference between the legalese, which is crime, criminal and stuff like this, and the religious terminology, which is sin, basically.
Yeah.
Well, this is what they make a difference about. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a listen to another part of the movie, Never Heard, directed by Josh Weber, and then we'll be back with his question. Don't go away.
Baby, what do you want?
I want my dad.
You have me.
For what? The 1 hour in the morning before school? The 30-minute car ride home? Your weekends are consumed with your stupid weekend conferences and your book signings. Okay, cool. Saturday we eat at grandma's house, but by the time Sunday comes around, you're too busy with football and basketball. And here comes Monday, and the cycle starts all over again. I'm tired of sharing you with everybody.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammed Jahod, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers in the program, trying to criticize the movie Never Heard, produced in 2018, directed by Josh Weber. Brother Yasser, you know, there's a conversation between the father and, you know, his daughter, Paris. They are talking about the quality time that they don't have. Basically, we are talking about that university lecturer who's also religious and doing some kind of a project in the prison later on, all right? But we see that there's some kind of, you know, problem going on between the father, who's a religious figure, basically, and also a teacher at the university, and his daughter, right, Paris. Well, what can families do today, you know, in this modern life, in this modern time, to spend more time with each other despite that rush, despite the hustle and bustle of today's life?
I don't think quantity is something we should focus on. A lot of people, especially in modern life, in many things they focus on quantity. How much? How long? How many? Whereas what is important is quality.
Mm-hmm. This is what we lack today.
This is what we lack, quality.
Yes.
In everything we do. I mean, even if you go back, and I like going back because going back is nice. You look at traditional medicine, for example, compared to modern medicine. When we go back to family, right? So traditional medicine was based on what? On kaif, on quality.
Mm-hmm.
Quality of what? And that particular person has certain traits within him. Those traits will enable me to kind of particularly find a cure for this person. Well, if you look at modern medicine today, is what is how many we can serve in the fast amount of time as possible, how much we can produce, and how much money we can make. So going back to family life, is the same, that we don't spend quality time with our family members. Most of the time we are either, when we do spend the time, it is, you know, on our phones, on our laptops, on watching, you know, doing our own things. And the amount of time we spend, even though it is little, it is not quality.
Mm-hmm.
It is just that amount of time just to kind of put a tick next to, oh, I've done it. It is not that particular quality that a person can do. I mean, okay. 5 minutes or 10 minutes with a child, quality, like mm-hmm. you spend and you give your whole attention to it. Not, for example, we do, child is speaking, we're on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is not quality time. Yes, I give him that 5-10 minutes. I give her 5-10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Or I feel that, you know, work is so important that, you know, I'm, like, we see this in many other movies as well, that the child gets annoyed with the parents because the amount of work that the parent does. And the parent thinks, no, I'm doing this work for you.
Yes.
So this is like the clash.
I see.
That happens. The mm-hmm. one is between the quality and the quantity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's take a listen to another part of the movie, Never Hurt, directed by Josh Weber, and then we'll be back to continue our program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Yes, there may have been things that happened in your past and some things that were beyond your control. Don't allow your past to defeat you. In spite of your weakness, you owe it to yourself to choose victory over defeat. In spite of what you've been through, you owe it to yourself to win. And say, I can make it. I will win. I am a champion. I know the devil told you you would never make it. The devil is a liar. When people say you can't, you say I can. When the devil says you can't, you say I can. I can. My struggle can't hold me. I can. Now if you choose victory, clap your hands and give God some praise.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Brother Yasser and Sayed Abdullah, my two guest speakers, trying to criticize the movie Never Hurt, directed by Josh Weber, produced in 2018. This is a Christian American movie. And Sayed Abdullah, there is this part that the priest is giving a sermon on human abilities for progress.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice part, basically. What's with the positive psychology in church sermons? If you happen to listen to the sermons of the priest, you may find out there is lots of emotional stuff in their sermons, basically, psychologically speaking, and they're trying to talk people into, you know, thinking so positively about their life and whatsoever that they're talking about. Is it only peculiar to the church, or we have it in common with the other religions too? We also see that Mr. Monty, the religious lecturer, the university lecturer, and also the religious character in this movie, has an active and positive role in educating people in his parish, basically, right? And the group therapy that he's holding, one of them being Oren, right?
Yep.
The prisoner. Probably because of his background in psychology that he says. He mentions mm-hmm. that, right, in the movie. Isn't it something that we take away as a lesson from this movie also? This is very important. We also had it in the old times that people in trouble would go to the gray-bearded people, basically. The old people, senior yeah. citizens,
yeah.
you know, asking for advice. And normally they had something.
That wisdom.
Yeah, a kind of wisdom actually to solve their problems. But now, not even the court would be able to do so.
Yeah, yeah, true. Look, with the concept when it comes to the to religion being positive, I think Christianity, they went way too far with positivity
mm-hmm.
and they neglected the other part. And this is what all Christianity yes. is about. Just positive, God loves you, come in. And that's it, done deal. Islam tried to place a balance mm-hmm. between, as we say, khawf and raja, right? Yeah. So there has to be this balance. If you become too positive, you become too soft, you would neglect your duties.
Mm-hmm.
So with Christianity, just positive. So this has to be noted, that Islam plays a balance. You have to have fear and have raja, have hope, and be positive. Islamically speaking, even, you know, Islam does emphasize on positivity when it comes to sinners, for example. It says, if you're a sinner, don't lose hope. God is there. God will forgive you. Ya abadi ladina asrafu ala anfusihim. La taqantu min rahmatillah. Come back. Allah will, you know, when he talks to the believers, to the pious people, be careful, be worried. I think this hadith from Dawood, he says, bashir al-mudnibin and warn the muttaqeen, or siddiqeen. Yeah. Like, how does that work? So, you know, as a faithful person, be yes. on your toes.
Yes.
As a sinner, don't lose hope. Mm. So you can always come back. So I think this is what differentiates Islam from other religions. As for the movie itself, it's a good message that God loves you, God wants you. But don't go too far to into the extent that you neglect everything else. Just, okay, Jesus will love you, Jesus will take care of you, and you so much are left behind. Now, this character himself, he played the role of a psychologist. He brought them all together, connected the family together through at least, you know, since it worked. So I think this is also a good message for at least for hardcore people who just take life as, you know, one way.
Yeah,
you can be, have a bit leniency, have a bit more positivity in your life and work through it.
Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, for your nice contribution to this movie critique program, Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to the program and joining us. In fact, in this program that we try to criticize the movie Never Heard, directed by Josh Weber. Thank you very much. And wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. You can make the choice today. I don't care how deep you're in it, you're coming out of it. I declare in Jesus' name that today is your day of freedom.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone, and our heartiest congratulations to you all on yet another anniversary of the glorious victory of the Islamic Revolution. As Iran steps into its 44th year as the role model of popular religious rule for the peoples and countries of the world. We have chosen for you a beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible heir, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, that seems to refer to the father of the Islamic Revolution, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, who changed for good the destiny of the Iranian people. A man from Qom will rise and invite people towards the truth. Around him will gather people like slabs of iron, who will stand firm against strong winds and storms, and will never get tired of war. They know not fear and have trust in Allah. The outcome is for the pious.
فارس و هرمز شانه به شانه سلسله کوه الباز وسعت نام تو وسعت نام خورشید جلوه خاک تو قرمز و سبز و سپید نمنم من نمن منم من ذره خاک وطنم من ذره خاک وطنم من ایران خاک دلیران ایران کنام جاویدان.
This is Bahman, the month which reminds us of love and empathy. With the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1979, the United States of America lost control of what Jimmy Carter once described as an island of stability in one of the more troubled areas of the world. Under the leadership of Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ruhollah Khomeini, the Iranian nation had fought an uphill battle in ousting the pro-West Shah. They were longing for a country with national sovereignty, a country with the greatest degree of self-determination, free from the yoke of the Eastern and the Western blocs. The so-called island of stability had been rocked by a revolution that had zero tolerance for foreign interference activities, and that was not what the Americans and other great powers of the time expected, and hence the enmity towards Iran began. Separatism, especially in the country's border areas, was among the immediate challenges the newly established republic was faced with. Just one day after the victory of the revolution, separatists in Iran's Kurdistan and Azerbaijan revolted against the government. Meanwhile, a bloody assassination campaign was launched by the Mujahideen-e-Khalq organization, MKO, a terrorist group that took the lives of over 12,000 Iranian citizens. The terrorist cult also targeted a great number of Iran's senior officials with the ultimate aim of taking power in the country. Although the aim was naive, it stripped the country of figures who could play significant roles in the future of the republic. Terrorist acts were later committed by other enemies of Iran, especially the Israeli regime, in its desperate attempt to hamper the country's peaceful nuclear program. In April 1980, almost a year after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the U.S. Armed Forces carried out Operation Eagle Claw. But the mission was aborted as the American helicopters were caught in a sandstorm in Tabaz in the east of Iran.
Oh, it's, a significant reminder for United States and other countries that are thinking about attacking Iran that it's not going to be that easy. Iran now is much more powerful in terms of its military and in terms of its defense.
A few months later, in yet another abortive attempt known as the Noje coup d'etat, the country's enemies were trying to overthrow the newly established Islamic Republic of Iran. this time with the help of the traitorous members of the Air Force, loyal to the dethroned Shah.
I think looking back on it, it was quite pathetic. You know, it was very badly organized and really it was half-hearted. It was making certain assumptions which wasn't going to come true. But nevertheless, it was quite testing for the newly formed government.
With two failed attempts, the Americans and their allies tried to restore their trampled pride, this time by encouraging an ambitious Iraqi dictator, namely Saddam Hussein, who launched an 8-year war against Iran. From the very beginning, riots, coup attempts, assassinations, and military actions were all coupled with monetary pressure on Tehran. For instance, in November 1979, through Executive Order 12170, Carter froze about $8.1 billion in Iranian assets, including bank deposits, gold, and other properties. The practice has continued since then.
For people who say these are just symbolic, that's not the case at all. We've literally locked up tens and tens of billions of dollars. These sanctions will come along with additional entities where people are hiding money. So no, these sanctions are highly effective.
These so-called highly effective sanctions are also known in Iran by yet another name, economic terrorism, as they have indiscriminately been targeting the whole nation.
People are also subjected to the most brutal form of economic terrorism, deliberately targeting innocent civilians to achieve illegitimate political objectives. The unlawful extraterritorial economic sanctions imposed on Iran by the United States in violation of Security Council Resolution 2231 represent the greatest threat to the achievement of sustainable development goals of Iran and many of our neighbors.
In just one case, U.S. unilateral sanctions have prevented EB children in Iran from having special wound dressings, resulting in their silence and slow deaths.
Since May 2018, that the U.S. unilaterally withdrew from the JCPOA, up to May 2019, a number of children suffering from EB died only because they did not have Mepilex dressings. I want to tell those who claim to be defenders of human rights what has been the crime of this 37-day-old baby who died of the disease only because we did not have Mepilex dressings as a result of the U.S. sanctions.
Last but not least, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been the innocent victim of a politically motivated smear campaign spearheaded by Washington. Through their ugly, distorted lens, the Americans have been seeking to show Iran as a rogue state and a sponsor of terrorism, which is after nuclear bombs and wherein human rights have no place. Since 1979, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been faced with unending challenges and threats coming from outside. To the dismay of the country's enemies, all these subversive activities have only made Iran a stronger nation, a blow that does not break your back, only makes it stronger.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, salam. And welcome to this episode of today's special. Dear brothers and sisters, on this episode of today's special, we're going to speak about Islamic Revolution and its achievements. Be with us. Today, Friday, is the 19th of Rajab 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Bahman 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 10th of February 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran for today, chapter Al-An'am, verse 14.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَتَّخِذُ وَلِيًّا فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ
Say, is it other than Allah I should take as protector, creator of the heavens and earth, while it is He who feeds and is not fed? Say, O Muhammad, indeed, I have been commanded to be the first among you who submit to Allah, and was commanded, do not ever be of the polytheists.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the verse, the Quran denotes that your sustenance is in the authority of Allah. Then in answer to suggestion of who invite the Prophet to join the camp of polytheists, the Quran instructs him to say that, besides the command of wisdom, which leads him to rely on the One who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, he also says that the revelation of Allah has instructed him to be the first Muslim who submits himself and never he joins the row of polytheists.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Bahman presents
today's special. The topic of this episode is Islamic Revolution and its achievements. Over the past 44 years, Iran has sprung up in all dimensions, one after another. Globally speaking, being among a few countries in the field of science production, nuclear and satellite technology, ranking fourth in the nanotechnology, fifth in cyber power, ninth in access to space, third in converting gas to gasoline, bioethanol production, first in attracting medical tourists in the rain, and having the largest shipbuilding pools in the Middle East all reflect Iran's success in the past four decades. Of course, Iran's huge progress was not to the liking the enemies, and they tried in every possible way to create obstacles, from imposing maximum pressure on Iran in military, economic, and political ways, to assassination of significant military and scientific figures such as General Soleimani. Despite all these efforts, due to wise and courageous leadership, such unlawful actions and threats have changed opportunities for maximum resistance and deterrence.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. This is Ali, and we are going to talk about the Islamic Revolution in Iran and its achievements for more than four decades. On the eve of the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the outcome of Iran's uprising against the US-backed rule of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi is a hot topic of discussion among Iranians. We're going to talk about the achievements and successes of the revolution in the past four decades in various sectors. Another achievement of the Islamic Republic is with regard to Quranic teachings. Quranic teachings were promoted in this four decades of the Islamic Revolution. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, many efforts have been made to promote lofty teachings of the Quran across the country. Presently, 11,000 institutions related with Quran are active in cities and villages, offering a variety of Quranic teachings to different age groups. Moreover, 35 rounds of international competitions of Quran have been held in Iran in different fields. These competitions are considered the most valid and important Quranic event in the world. Iranian reciters and memorizers of Quran have attained many honors in Quranic contests too. The International Quran Exhibition is another cultural achievement of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Every year in the month of Ramadan, this exhibition attracts many enthusiasts from all over the country and abroad. Another achievement of the Islamic Revolution was the increased role of women in the society. The massive presence of the people from all walks of life was an obvious characteristic of the Islamic Revolution. However, the role of women has been very significant and effective in this regard. Being wary of the humiliation imposed by the regime of Shah, women rushed to the field of struggle against the regime once they heard the life-inspiring call of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, women have increasingly taken part in different domains such as politics, culture, economy, sciences, literature, art, and sports. They have been present in every domain to defend the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic.
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with today's special.
This is today's special and achievements of the Islamic Revolution in the field of health and wellness. From among them, the growth of medical universities. Before the victory of the revolution, about 7 medical schools were established in universities. But now, there are about 50 medical universities across the country. The number of medical students admitted from about 600 before the victory of the revolution to about 6,000 a year. In 1975, the total number of doctors with medical system cards was about 17,000, while in previous years, about 140,000 doctors were trained in medical universities across the country. In the last four decades, the outstanding growth of the number of medical universities in all provinces of the country, especially the deprived provinces, the increase in the number of the graduates of medical sciences, especially women, and the law related to the presence of these graduates in deprived provinces, are among the success of the medical education.
The explosion of light in the modern age of ignorance with the support of Islam. The Islamic Revolution.
Brothers and sisters, now we look at achievements of four decades. One of them is Quran teachings promoted. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, many efforts have been made to promote lofty teachings of the Quran across the country. Presently, 11,000 institutions related with Quran are active in cities and villages, offering a variety of Quranic teachings to different age groups. Moreover, 35 rounds of international competitions of Quran have been held in Iran in different fields. These competitions are considered the most valid and important Quranic event in the world. Iranian reciters and memorizers of Quran have attained many honors in Quranic contests, too. The International Quran Exhibition is another cultural achievement of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Now, what is this genuine Islam that Imam is talking about? One of the great contributions of Imam al-Khomeini in the contemporary age is that he reintroduced to us the Islam of the Holy Prophet. That Islam which conquered the East and the West. Today, what happened that the Muslim Ummah, though we are saying that we are following the path of the Holy Prophet, what happened that today this Ummah and this nation has been afflicted with all these tribulations? According to Imam, the source of the fake Islam is not always the Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. And if it is in some cases, then it is that Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet which has been distorted. Whereas when it comes to the genuine Islam, the source of this genuine Islam is the Quran, the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet, the practice of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam through the methodology of ijtihad. The fake Islam, the counterfeit version of Islam, relies on the intellect and reason which is guided by desires and lowly self of a human being. The genuine path of Islam, is intellectually open. It takes into account the different realities of life. The fake Islam and the counterfeit version of Islam is intolerant towards other faiths and beliefs. Whereas the genuine Islam that Imam al-Khomeini believed in is tolerant to different faiths, and not only to different denominations within Islam, but to different religions which are existing today in the world. When it comes to social and political arena, according to Imam al-Khomeini, the counterfeit version of Islam accepts humiliation before the world, the so-called world superpowers. Whereas when it comes to the genuine Islam, it does not allow its followers to accept humiliation, whether it is political humiliation, cultural humiliation, economic humiliation, or social humiliation. The fake version of Islam, the American Islam that Imam says, is indifferent towards oppression and injustice. Whereas the Islam that Imam al-Khomeini introduced to us, it is the Islam which fights and which rises against injustice and oppression.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That is the end of this episode of today's special. We leave you in Allah's blessings. Fi amanillah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.